from every situation. And he's going to use your experiences, your mess, and he's going to make it into his message, and you're going to help people.
Truth, live from the booth, always beats 100 proof. She's bringing to you words of encouragement with the funny twist to feed your soul like it's nourishment. While you're listening, I hope you catch a feeling, cause Tina talks truth about hope, truth, and healing. So I hope you tune in to the radio. Tina talks truth, it's the only way to go.
Good morning. This is Tina Levine with Tina Talks Truth radio show. And thank you so much for listening, and happy July 4th. How was your July 4th? Did you eat a lot of hot dogs, ribs, watch some fireworks? I, of course, had a late night. I was up until 9 p.m. Anyhoot, so I hope you guys all had a safe July 4th, and this is Wednesday, July 5th. You are going to be blessed today by this interview. Krista Hernandez is here, and wow, she's gonna bless you. So I'm so glad that you're here and you're listening, and I hope you enjoyed Idioms Wrap introduction. 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. Whoa, that's an incredible verse. We're going to talk about another favorite verse of mine, Jeremiah 29:11, during the interview. But 2 Timothy 1:7 is actually another great verse that I love. That God did not give us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and sound mind. We talked about last week how Jesus wants us to have peace, and God wants us to have sound mind, and he gives us power and love. Today's guest, Krista, actually is going to share how she has taken the power to heal with the ministry that she leads, and she leads a lot of women to healing through her love. But first, let's pray for some people. I'm so grateful that people are reaching out and submitting prayer requests. So Heavenly Father, we just come before you, and first and foremost, we praise you, Lord. We thank you for today. We thank you for the breath that you have given us today. And Lord, if we have breath today, we have purpose. I have a whole list of people that I need to pray for this morning. Many are struggling with medical needs as well as relationship mending and just everyday challenges and struggles, Lord. We know that you want us to have power and love and sound mind, God, just like in that Bible verse. And you tell us, and Jesus has told us many times, peace be with you. And so, Lord, I lift up each one of these listeners and ask for medical miracle healing upon them. Like Marley Claire, who has a brain tumor, Lord, this is a little girl, your precious child, God. And we just lift up this Marley. We ask for a healing of this brain tumor, Lord, and that you give her strength and strengthen her body so that she can fight this tumor, Lord, that it will shrink and it will dissipate. It will dissolve, Lord. And you have the power of doing this. And we believe in you, God, that this is going to happen for this child. We lift up Tara and Caleb. And we also lift up Christina, who's struggling with MS. And we pray for her son and family. We also lift up Shannon, who recently got an abnormal mammogram result. But God, we know that you have a plan for that situation, Lord. And we lift up Shannon, and we just ask that you heal whatever is happening. Also, we lift up Wendy, who had a biopsy. And God, we just, 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear. So God, we're just asking that there's no fear attached to any of these medical prayers, that God, you're going to heal and that you're going to give strength to the people that are enduring these medical struggles. Like Mary, her uncle who has cancer, Lord, we ask for healing on him. We ask for Diana to be able to focus and do her best in her anatomy class, God, and that we're here for you, Diana. I love you, girl. And Dina, who actually needs to be lifted up for her medical concerns. Leanne was just diagnosed with breast cancer, and Leanne is a long time friend of mine. And Leanne, I love love you, and we are praying for complete healing of this breast cancer and God's plan and God's will for your life. And Gina wants prayers about God's will for her life. Tiffany, we're praying about this job. We just know that God has the perfect job for you. And it may not be this one, but just be still and wait for him and be patient. We're praying for Michelle and her son and all the camps for kids she's working with. And we just wanted to lift all those children up, Lord, that you may touch their hearts. And also Cheryl. Cheryl needs a miracle. And so we're lifting Cheryl up at this time. And Stephanie, her friend Mark had a stroke, Lord. And we just ask for full, complete healing on his brain. Stephanie's sister actually is struggling with addiction, Lord. And we just ask that you heal her from that addiction and give her freedom. Nicole's son, we're lifting him up right now, Lord. And please just speak to his heart that he has a purpose, that you actually knitted him together in his mother's womb, and that he has a purpose in this life, and he must live this life in order to fulfill that purpose. And Gina, her mom passed away, and Gina, I'm so sorry, and my condolences for your mother passing away, and we're lifting up your father to help him heal during this time. Lori, actually 4 years ago, Lori had an accident where she hit her head and she has headaches every day. God, we just ask you to heal her from these headaches. And her daughter, Kayla, she injured her arm and she has pain. And God, we know that you can actually work a miracle, heal these muscles and these tendons and these bones in Kayla's arm. And we also lift up Katie and her husband, and they're struggling with infertility. And God, you have a plan for this couple. And we just ask that they're open to your plan, if it be their own birth child or to foster or adopt a child. And God, I lift up Laura. And Laura actually messaged me and she just wants to know what her purpose is. It broke my heart when I read this, because we each have a purpose, but I know very often we question, what exactly is our purpose? And God, I just ask that you answer that and you place it in her heart, that Laura knows that she has a purpose. She's on this earth for your plan. And I ask a hedge of protection around all of our service men and women and all of our first responders out there, God. I thank you for their service. I thank you for everyone out there that is spreading the love and the hope and the joy and laughter. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." Krista Hernandez is an author, ministry leader, speaker, and survivor of human trafficking. Krista is the ministry leader of Loving You Where You Are At. Please take the time and share this interview with women and men. This interview is for everyone, because one of the things that Krista and I talk about is if you have a heart for service or you have a heart to donate, there's so many opportunities to help with this ministry. You can be a prayer warrior, you can bake cookies, you could donate money, or you can donate even soaps and jewelry or whatever. Make jewelry for these women. So please take a listen. And thank you so much, Krista, for sharing your hope and your joy and laughter and healing. Enjoy.
Good morning. This morning we have Krista Hernandez. And Krista is actually an author, ministry leader, speaker, and survivor and thriver of human trafficking. Krista, thank you so much for being on the Tina Talks Truth radio show this morning.
Thank you for having me.
Actually, Krista and I were talking, and you know, it's such a small world, and we have so many mutual friends, and
yes,
we actually met back in 2014.
Yes,
at an
did.
Event. Yes, with the great Barbara. Yeah, all the chicas over in the Tampa area that started the strip club outreach ministry. You actually shared your testimony. And I tell you, Krista, I've, you know, watched you on Facebook, and with your testimony and all of the incredible blessings that God is just abundantly providing for you, that a lot of the things that I want to talk to you today about is that you have a book that actually,
yes,
it's available for pre-sale right now. And it's actually going to be published September 1st. So I would love to speak about that. But also, I want to share with the world your ministry, Loving You Where You Are At. If you can share with us how that ministry started.
Okay, so it actually started from my own pain. So as we, you know, as you mentioned, I am a survivor, thriver of human trafficking. I was in that life for about 20 years. For me, it started in a strip club. Well, really, I'll just keep it short, but it started in childhood, came from a very broken, abusive, both physically, spiritually, sexually abusive home growing up. And, you know, porn was made easily accessible to us, all kinds of stuff. So when I hit 18 years old, I started bartending. While I was there, they had a male review that would come in one night a week and female dancers that would come in. And they were short one. So they asked me, would I fill in? And so I said yes. And before I knew it, I was walking around in pasties and a thong. And I will never forget, like, the disgust I felt of how the men were groping at me and just looking at me as if I was meat on the bone. But there was also a false sense of empowerment because I was a very broken girl who was looking for acceptance in all the wrong ways. So I ended up pregnant with my daughter, ended up moving where my mom was. Things were kind of spiraling out of control there. My father was arrested for sexually abusing my siblings. So my mom now had, you know, 5 kids in her home. I had my daughter, so I needed to get out. And I ended up walking into a strip club at the age of 19. And when I started working there, there was a girl who befriended me and started giving me free drugs, which made what I was doing a whole lot easier because, you know, usually you're sexually assaulted about 100% of the time when you're giving private dances. She asked me, would I start driving her places? So I did. And I was naive and asked her what she was doing. And she said that she was, you know, just doing private dances or working bachelor parties. And she was paying me $50 to drive her. And this was in 1993. So that was a good amount of money. And over some time, she was coming out with tons of money, kind of coercing me with the money she was making. And she told me, you know, you can do what I do. You'll just have to talk to the boss. And so that led to me speaking with the boss, and their words were, we are going to send you to a regular, and we're going to see if you're capable of making the cut. And so again, I'm a broken girl looking for acceptance in all the wrong places, and you've now challenged me. So I went to the regular and walked in, and he placed $250 in my hand and told me that I was to call the boss and let them know I was there. And in that moment, I knew there was a lot more expected of me. Something more was going on. But I called the boss, and the boss told me that I was to call them. If I didn't call them within 40 to 45 minutes, they would call me out, and I was to meet them down the street with their money. So in that moment, I tried to think of ways I can make the cut without having to have intercourse, because in my mind, that was a safe boundary at that point. You know, you could do whatever else you want to do to me, but just not that. And I was able to get away with it that time, but when I met the boss down the street to give them their money, they then sent me to another call instantly where there were 5 guys at Innisbrook, a prestige golf course. And I was sent from room to room to room. And unfortunately, at that call, I was not able to protect myself completely. And it broke me in ways that I had never been broken. I mean, I was broken, but that broke me. And so this went on for about 3 years. And I ended up, they were sending me out to sometimes up to 10 calls a night. I ended up pregnant with my son. So I guess I wasn't as valuable to them. By the time those 3 years had passed, I didn't think that I was worthy of anything more. I didn't know any other way of survival. I now had 2 kids, so I ended up going back to other bosses on my own. So this life had me for 20 years. I think about 2008, I was invited to church I was at my son's baseball game, and one of the moms invited me to church, and I was like, absolutely not, in my head. Like, Jesus wants nothing to do with me. I am too far gone, and if I walk in that church, it's going to burn down to the ground. And I had only been to church once in my adult life, and that was for a funeral. And so I was very good at playing the part, so I decided I would go for all the wrong reasons and look like the good baseball mom. And so I did, and when I walked into that church, I like to call him Sneaky Jesus, because he grabbed a hold of me right then and there, and there was no running from his presence. I was still in the church for 2 years, and I was still in the industry because I was terrified if anybody knew the real me that I would be thrown out of the church. And so during that time, here I am reading the Bible and growing in my relationship with the Lord, but if the phone would ring, I would have to go into character. And by this time, my latter part of the industry, I was into the whole dominatrix scene because I was introduced to that, and the enemy started lying to me, telling me, hey, it's your turn to belittle these men, Krista. It's your turn to hurt them. So I was in a very dark part of the industry at this point. So I would be reading the Bible, the phone would ring, and I would either have to go do a live session, a phone session, or a TM session. And so it was very hard. It was very conflicting. So I had a suicide attempt, and thank God I had, you know, I was drunk, and I only ate a bunch of Advil instead of the pain medication that I was addicted to. And so it was at that time that God started placing in my heart that once I got out, I was going to go back in and reach other women where I was. I didn't know that anything existed like that. So I did a Google search one night of women who love Jesus but are in the sex industry. And this organization called Treasures popped up out of California. And I about fell out of my chair. And so I went, it had a place that said industry girls, click here. So I did. They set me up with a mentor. They sent me a care package that had Harmony Dust. She was the founder, or is the founder, of Treasures. And she wrote her story called Scars and Stilettos, which was the first story I had ever heard of somebody who had been in the life who had made it out. So that was sent to me. And when I read that book, hope started rising in me. Through talking to the mentor, she encouraged me to go to someone at my church, a pastor at my church, and tell him. And I did. And his response was, we love you. Jesus loves you. And we're going to walk with you through this season of your life. And he never once told me to leave, because if you take away choice, you take away love. He just gave me tools. You know, here's Celebrate Recovery. Here is Job Finders. Here are all these things that we can offer you. And it was up to me to take those tools. And I did. I grabbed a hold of everything that he offered. And then the final straw was I went to a Joyce Meyer's conference, and she was telling the story of the prodigal son. And in that moment, I audibly heard God. And it was as if I could see him saying, come on, Krista, you can do this. That industry is not your provider. I am, and I love you. So it was in that moment that I knew I loved him, but I had a revelation of his love for me. And so I left the industry. As soon as I got home from that conference, I put my actual, who I really was, up on the adult site and my story of salvation and why I was leaving. It still sits on an adult site to this day. And I left. And so I went through a period of about 2 months where I was really sick because the Lord had told me to put all the medication down that I was taking. Got better from that, ended up getting a sales job. And then in 2012, Harmony Dust, the founder of Treasures, was partnered with Strip Church, and they were doing a training in Miami, the first one they had ever done that was outside of California, on how to go in and reach women that are in the industry. And so I knew it was my time to go. And so I went in 2012 to that training. It was actually in that training that I identified myself as being trafficked. I just thought I had chosen to be a prostitute, and that wasn't the case. And unfortunately, it's like that for many women today. You know, they think this is a choice they made and don't even recognize that they are being trafficked. I came at that training is when Loving You Where You're At was officially named. It was birthed before that, but it was officially named. And then for about a year or so, it was just really trying to build a team, gathering items to take in the clubs, praying over where would we go. And then in December of 2013 is when we went on our first outreach, and God sent me an hour away from home to Pasco County. And we went to all of the clubs in Pasco County. I believe there were 7, except for one. So I believe we went into 8 clubs in Pasco County and started doing outreach. And so we've been doing it. We added 5 clubs from Tampa. We've added 3 brothels that are disguised as Asian massage parlors in Pasco. We have been going every month since 2013.
That is just remarkable. And first and foremost, I just have to tell you that I'm overwhelmed by your obedience, that you are going in the darkest of places to take the light, and you are going not full of fear, but faith and direction and guidance and bringing Jesus into these places. And Loving You Where You Are At is such a perfect example of where your church and pastor and people in your life that Jesus put in your life, they loved you exactly where you were at, and you're doing the same thing. So I just admire your obedience, and I think you just are incredible, and I love the reports. I read your reports every time you go out because I actually had the pleasure and the responsibility of being the spiritual leader of a strip club ministry at my church for a couple of years. And I you have to be prayed up. You have to.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think people realize when you actually go into those dressing rooms and you see face to face, you talked about being broken and seeking acceptance. I have to share the one time I remember we went into this club. It was just down the street from our church. It was the first time we were going into this club, and this woman was in her 50s. So, you know, she was in the industry for years,
and
years, her whole life. And we see her, and she's a heroin addict, and she's super skinny. But I look at her, and I said, "You are beautiful inside and out, and God loves you." And she broke into tears and literally fell into a chair. And she's like, "No one has ever told me that." And it is, and it's all God. It is all God, and He really touches these women, and He really, and men, because there's males as well. But, you know, we saw so many miracles in the time that, you know, I was involved with that ministry. First of all, you got to learn how to value your body and respect it, and especially if you've been sexually abused or molested as a child, it's hard to do that because you are broken.
Oh, yeah.
You're seeking that acceptance, but that denial just builds up. And so when you finally get to that point, and I guess this is more for the listeners, is if you find yourself in a situation where you get that gut feeling, that's the Holy Spirit speaking to you. And you share that. You share that through your story. I've heard your testimony in a couple videos. And you share that you have that Holy Spirit, that gut feeling of, okay, this is not safe, or this is not, this it doesn't feel right. And so I'm just speaking to the listeners right now that if you have that gut feeling, Krista, me, there's so many women in this community that are there for you and that we can help you and we can provide support and resources.
Yeah.
Also, I wanted to talk about, you said about Jesus taking hold of you after the suicide attempt, and then it's like, God just flooded you with all these angels, you know, and that is just remarkable. And that's exactly what He does. And He provides that freedom and that redemption, and then He restores us. And I love that part of your story, and that you said that He provides the tools, like Celebrate Recovery, the jobs.
Yes.
And all of that. And it's so true. But more than that is the hope, which, you know, you said about that book. I remember giving that book to women in the strip club.
I love
it. And also Bibles. Yeah. I mean, you know, there's so many different tools that you could provide these people. I have one story I want to share because this, I think, will just help you to keep your passion going and maybe rejuvenate you to realize that what you're doing is helping. So one time we went into the club, and someone had donated like this ugly green folder. You know, it was not like the prettiest of folders. And we're just like, whatever, it's a folder, you know. But God has a purpose. God knows all the details. So we take this ugly green folder in, and we put it into backpacks. And all we supplied, it was around, you know, I think July or August, and we wanted to supply all the school supplies for the young ladies and older ladies, their children, for school. And so we have all these school supplies. And this one young lady who had multiple children, and she just busts out crying. And we're like, whoa, like, she got the ugly green folder. What is she crying for, you know?
Right.
Maybe she doesn't like it, you know? And she starts crying. And we're like, what is going on? And she says, "You don't understand. I did not know where I was going to get money to provide school supplies for my child, let alone on the one list of the supplies said this certain green folder."
Yes.
That is good God is.
Yes. I have a couple of stories like that. There's so many, but just a couple that come to mind, because I believe every month that we go, there is some God story like that.
Yes.
But, one time, I'm not going to say the name because I don't want to, you know, I keep it very, I don't ever want to exploit anybody, but yeah. especially the precious women that we're reaching. But we will sometimes do where we'll paint stones or something and we'll put words of affirmation on it. And so I'm not going to say what word was on the stone, but we went in and we handed one of the girls that was at the door this gift, and she looked at it like a rock, whatever, you know. And mm-hmm. so we went about our business and we were handing out the gifts to the other girls. And all of a sudden, this door girl comes running over to us with tears streaming down her face. And she's like, oh my gosh, my name stands for what's on this stone. And so the name, the word that was on the stone, it actually was in another language, her name. It was in English what her name was. And she just broke down in tears. And she's like, I know this is God, you know. Oh. And yeah, and we had another moment where some ladies had done some baskets for us of like kids' toys. And there was like a shark tooth necklace that was hanging on it. And one of the girls in the dressing room grabs this. It's something I wouldn't have grabbed, but she grabs a hold of this thing. Like you said, the green ugly folder. She grabs a hold of this thing and she starts crying and said that her little brother had just lost his the day before, and that she was like trying to find something that looked almost identical to his, and that this looked identical to his. And it's in those moments that God is showing them, like, yes, these ladies are coming in and they're being the hands and feet, but this is me, and I know you by name, and I know your heart's desires, and I'm pursuing you. And it's like you said, it's just amazing when those moments happen.
Absolutely. And they wouldn't happen if you weren't obedient. And so that's what I think is just so incredible, is that you have this obedient heart for God. Even before you got out of the industry, you said that you were going to church for 2 years. Even yeah. though you were still in the industry. And so God was just shaping your character, and just, you know, he was giving you a taste of that freedom before you actually were set free, which I just think right. is remarkable. And so we talked about that book, Giving the Women Hope. Now your book is coming out September 1st. If you could please share the title and then yeah. what the book is going to consist of.
So the title is No Safe Place from Childhood Abuse and Sex Trafficking. And basically, the reason for the name No Safe Place is because there really was no safe place for me from a child throughout most of my life. I didn't get out of the industry until I was 37 years old. So for 37 years, I mean, there was just really no safe place. So what this book is, it's basically my story from childhood through being in the industry, some of the things that I've done. I was very not too raw, you know, to the point of like giving any gory details. But I was just very real and very raw in writing this book as far as like what the industry was like, the kind of person that I was while I was in that industry, the kind of mother that I was while I was in that industry. I had lost my kids at one point, and how much like Jesus has changed me and restored not only me, but has restored the relationship with my daughter and I. She now serves on the team with us, has restored the relationship with my son. Just how once I surrendered to him and stepped away from that life, how he literally covered every single detail. That's pretty much what it is. It's from childhood through being in the life, and then we touch on, you know, loving you where you're at and kind of what some of the journey has been. But I think that there might be a book too that is more about loving you where you are at and just the being a survivor and just the struggles of trying to, you know, run a nonprofit and run this ministry, and you're a survivor that hasn't really you've never really worked a real job in your whole life, but about I could count on, you know, two hands how many real jobs I've ever had, and they probably lasted about a week or so. So this book will lead into that, and then we'll see if there's a book two.
Well, I'm claiming right now there's going to be a book two and three and four and five. I don't want to overwhelm you, but girl, you got a lot to share with the world.
I do. And yes. You know, it's because I just want to empower other survivors that I felt so unqualified when God called me to this, you know, but we know that he will qualify us, you know?
Yes.
And I was like, how am I going to do this? And how am I going to do this? But he has literally, you know, taught me along the way. And here we are in 2017, and we're growing. We have two drop-in centers. We were just gifted a house. So I just really want to empower other women who are either in or who are coming out, that your dreams can still come true, you know, and that even though you might feel like I'm not qualified because I've been in this life all this time, God will do what he needs to do to get you to where he's called you to.
Absolutely. I love Jeremiah 29:11, and
it's on my arm.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, it's tattooed on my arm.
That was the first Bible verse, I swear, that God, like, spoke to my heart. And
yes.
I don't know about you, but I felt like, you know, going through abuse and rape and domestic violence and all that, and I always felt like God was punishing me for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
And I always have people ask me, like, were you Catholic? Because it's like a Catholic, you know, believes like that God's punishing you, you know, like, and if any Catholics that are listening, I'm sorry, that's not, it was an unbeliever that actually said that to me. But, so I wasn't Catholic, and I was like, I don't know why I have this sense, you know, I just felt like God was punishing me. And so when that first Bible verse, Jeremiah 29:11, and it says about that God has plans of hope and not disaster. And for me, that spoke to my heart. And like you, I was scared to death to walk into a church. Like my friend that was divorced and married 4 times, and, you know, she was in recovery with me and all that. And she actually found a Baptist church in Ohio. And she says, Tina, you got to come. And I'm like, no, you don't understand. Like, first of all, I was an atheist for many years. And then I was like, I'm agnostic, and I'm pretty sure that the roof is going to cave in as soon as I step into a church. And she's like, no, you know. And I remember stepping in, and it went in the roof did not cave in, and actually it was like angelic, and there were angels like singing, and it was like, oh! And I tell you, they met me where I was at, and they loved on me. Oh, wow. I remember this one woman, Pearl, up in Ohio. Hi, Pearl, if you're listening, I love you. She would always say, you know, God loves you. Jesus loves you. And she just gave the best hugs. It was women like her that loved on me, and they loved me until I could love myself. And that
Amen.
That's exactly what God calls us to do. You know, we go through these trials and tribulations, and God says in the Bible, many times Jesus says, there's going to be trouble. There's going to be trouble. The thing is it brings us closer to God. And as women, we have to be obedient, and we have to support one another. And that's what I love about loving you where you are at, your ministry. And you, Krista, you love these women exactly where they are, and you love them until they love themselves. And that's what's so remarkable.
They
about
are my
you.
Sisters. Yeah.
Yes. And that's exactly how we have to treat one another, is we are sisters in Christ, and we're there to lean on one another, you know, put away all of that jealousy and comparison crap. You know, we need to support one another and provide that hope to one another. And you shared that. You shared that book gives you hope, and you're now sharing hope. What brings you joy?
Oh, my joy is in the Lord. It really is. He brings me joy. And honestly, going back in and to the clubs for a different reason. And, you know, I always tell people that we go in there to bless them, but they're always a blessing to us. And so I would have to say, first, my joy comes from the Lord, but my joy also comes from being able to go in and being able to be his hands and feet to these precious women and men that we meet on a monthly basis.
Hmm. And how important is laughter, and where do you find laughter?
Oh, laughter is so important, especially with what I do and the places that I go, because as we all know, that, you know, there's a lot of warfare. We're going into some of the darkest places. And I think how I find my laughter is really through my little granddaughter. So I have a little 4-year-old granddaughter, and she stays home with me still, her and my daughter. And she's joy as well. She brings me joy, but she brings me so much laughter. And it's just such a blessing for her to be in my home and me have that opportunity to love her in ways that I wasn't able to love my own kids. I mean, I loved my own kids, but I was in a very broken place. So to be able to have that opportunity to just love on her and pour into her and have fun with her and laugh with her. So she's definitely where my laughter comes from.
Oh, that's so sweet. And I love seeing her pictures. She's so cute.
Yeah. She's Grandma Park.
Oh, sweet. And it's so great that you have like a second chance.
That's
you know,
what
that
it feels like. It.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, what
a
blessing.
It feels like I got to be the one to kind of break that generational curse that's been obviously in our family for a very long time. But just seeing my daughter be the mom that she is, that gives me joy too. Seeing my daughter be the mom that she is to my granddaughter, because my daughter went down a very bad path due to probably what she has seen and what I had put her through being in the life. And she got involved in drugs and stuff, and then she ended up pregnant with my granddaughter, and we really believe that my granddaughter was her saving grace because she hasn't touched another drug, and she is just the greatest mom in the world. And it just brings me such joy to see how she is with Brooklyn and just to know that I have been, God has allowed me to be a part of breaking that generational curse. At least with my immediate family, meaning my two kids and my granddaughter.
Mm, yes, yeah. And that's exactly what you did, is you broke that generational curse, and it's just, it is, it's a curse. They're demons, and, you know, that especially that sexual abuse and sexual molestation, all that. I mean, it's a demon. It literally is a demon that is generational, and it goes and it continues and it continues until someone breaks that generational curse.
Right. And you'll learn in my book that, you know, and I've also shared it in my testimony other places, but my father, he messed with the other side spiritual world. Like, he would have seances in our home. Mm. He would channel spirits through his body, some crazy stuff. So we were exposed to that darker side as kids. So a lot of what we went through was spiritual abuse. And like I tell people, we weren't scared of the boogeyman. We were scared of what we couldn't see. So it was a very strong demonic presence in our life from children until adulthood. So you'll hear more about that if you get the book.
yes, absolutely. I'm going to get that book. No Safe Place, September 1st. And you're taking pre-sale orders on nowscpress.com?
Yes. So www.nowscpress.com, and there you can get your book, and it will be an autographed copy.
Yay! Oh, that's so exciting. And I know in your book you're going to talk about healing and God's blessings. How does one know that you're healed or healing from a past like this?
Oh, geez. Well, how you know you're healing is you'll see change come about, I think, is one thing. But another thing is, in my own personal experience, is sometimes it's a lot more painful before it gets better when you're healing. For me, I thought that once I got out of the life and I had a regular job that, I was all good, you know, and then I started this organization and I am just miraculously healed and I don't have to deal with those 37 years of life. But how very wrong was I? I started feeling myself go into survival mode and actually I had a dream where God spoke to me and basically showed me that there was this big red wall that wasn't allowing me to go where he was wanting to take me. And so I had to break down and see a psychiatrist, and I had to break down and start EMDR therapy, which is a phenomenal trauma therapy for women who have went through severe trauma. And it hurt a lot before it got better. And healing is a long journey, and you just have to do your part in it. And sometimes it's going to hurt a whole lot more, and you're going to be like, forget this. Like, I want to run completely away from this. But it's so much worth it whenever you go through the process and you come out at the end. And there's just like a lightness that is off of me. My heart feels differently towards situations and towards people. You know, I'm not tormented by things that I was tormented by before. So there's so much. We could have a whole radio show about healing.
Yes. It's like an onion, you know, you peel it back
and layers,
it's stinkier and stinkier and stinkier before it gets better. But, you know, my favorite quote is, and it's a recovery quote, is don't quit before the miracle happens.
Amen.
So a lot of times we get to that point where it hurts and it hurts so bad and it's like that stinky, stinky onion. But, you know, God tells us that there's going to be joy in the morning. And I tell you, every time I get to that place where I'm on my knees and I am just hurting and I'm screaming out for God, that next day is when He just blesses. And so that's my favorite quote is, don't quit before the miracle happens. Because
oh, I love that.
So often people just quit and people give up. And, you know, you were there with that suicide attempt. And so often people just don't see that light at the end of the tunnel. And sometimes we just have to stand in that gap for people and keep just praying for people and just keep them lifted and provide that hope. And I thank you so much for providing that hope through your ministry, loving you where you are at. If you want to check out Krista's ministry on her website, it's www.lovingyouwhereyouareat.com. Go get your book right now, pre-sale, www.nowscpress.com. And her book is No Safe Place. It is going to be released September 1st. And we are just so grateful that you joined us. And I thank you for taking the time just to share your heart and your ministry and just the healing process of being redeemed and the freedom from the life that literally had you in prison. I mean, you weren't physically in a prison, but you emotionally and spiritually, you were in prison most of your life.
One of the biggest needs that we find when we're out going into the clubs and going into the brothels is housing for these women. Many of these women want out, and there's not enough beds for them, you know, across the United States, especially in the Tampa Bay area. And so one of the things is we have been gifted a house to be able to be a transitional/safe home for women who are in the industry, as well as victims of human trafficking. With that said, just keep us in prayer over that, because even though we have the house, what people don't realize is, okay, just because you have the house, there's a lot of other stuff that comes along with it. So we're looking at anywhere from $150,000 to $200,000 annually to be able to run this house properly. So I just wanted to kind of put that out there and have people praying over the opening of this house, because, you know, it'll house about 6 women, and that is 6 women's lives who will be changed, and it'll be about a year program, and they'll be healed and going through the restoration process and ready to step out into the regular world, you know, when they finish this program in this home. So if you could definitely please just keep us in prayer over that.
Absolutely. We'll keep you in prayer, and also let us know if there's a way that listeners can contribute and donate towards this.
Sure.
Do you have a website
we have on our main website, lovingyouwhereyouareat.com, there's a donate button, and it's through PayPal, so it is a secure donation, and we are a 501c3, so any donation is tax deductible.
Awesome. That's great, and I'll include that and all of my promotional materials for this interview as well. Please go to her website, donate, and also, do you accept other donations for your club outreaches and going to the brothels? And that, and what are you looking for?
So we take in about 220 gifts a month to the girls that are working, and we usually take in just fun girly stuff. So we'll take in, they love Bath and Body Works, you know, little trial size lotions or body washes. They love the hand sanitizers. They love any kind of makeup, obviously new. We don't want to ever give them something that's used or something that we wouldn't use ourselves. They love handwritten cards. They love earrings, any, you know, bracelets, compacts, just anything that is fun and girly is what we take in. So, you know, we have a lot of different people that will do, you know, maybe 50 bags of something. And I tell people, that's okay if you want to do 50 bags. Don't get overwhelmed with the number of 220, because what we do is split it up into separate clubs. So just whatever you can do. And if you have an idea that's fun and girly, then we're open to it.
Awesome. What about baked goods? Do you guys do any baked goods?
So we do baked goods every month. We take in over 220 baked goods, because we always take the bouncers, the managers, all of them, their baked goods, because they love them. It actually started out being for the bouncers and the management, but then the girls love them too. So now we take it to everybody. But we do always need bakers, and we actually have a private Facebook page for that is Bakers for Loving You Where You're At. So if you are interested in baking, just reach out via the website, or you can reach out via Facebook, and our Facebook is, you know, LYWYAA. And there you can message me as well, and you can get on our Baker's page.
Great. Okay. Well, thank you for that. And the baked goods, I remember for the bouncers and the males in the club. And one of the bouncers, we took baked goods in one time, and the one bouncer's like, I was just diagnosed with diabetes. So we're like, you know what? We got you next month. So we would take him in sugar-free cookies and sugar-free cake.
And they love that. That is really important.
They love it.
Because when you remember something like that, they are like, it blows them away. We had one.
Yes.
And he doesn't want cookies, but he loves salt and vinegar chips. So every month we go, we take him a bag of salt and vinegar chips.
Yeah.
And you just see his face light up that, oh my gosh, you remembered me. Like, you remembered that I like salt and vinegar chips. You know, it's just so important, those intentional relationships and remembering the small details.
Absolutely. And you know, I think that's like the whole title of this interview is, you know, God is in all the details, in the darkest parts of our life, as well as remembering salt and vinegar potato chips, you know,
exactly.
For that one male staff, you know. So he's in all the details. He remembers us, he cherishes us, and he treasures us as his daughters. And we're just so grateful for God's love, and we just glorify him every day. And how can we pray for you, Krista?
Well, right now we are in the process of growing an administrative side of the team. I really need a lot of administrative help because the ministry is growing pretty rapidly. So just that God would bring those right people that have a heart to stay on the team, because we definitely need consistency, and anyone who is working with the girls to be consistent. We need prayer for just the women and the men that we are reaching, that each time we go, God is just piercing their heart with his love, and that every time we go in the clubs, that hope is just overflowing. We need prayer for provision for the house, for the monthly gifts, for the two drop-in centers that we run. We help these women with both tangible and intangible needs. And just covering the team and our families in prayer, because, as I said, the warfare is thick.
Absolutely. And we're going to stand in that gap, and we're going to lift you guys up in prayer every month that you go, but also even in between, because like you said with that safe house, there's so many needs to sustain the safety of these women and these young women that it's just the basic needs, you know?
Yes.
Electric, food. Oh, my goodness.
Trauma therapist.
You know? Yes. And I remember one woman, she had an abscess so bad in her mouth that her cheek was so swollen up, and we were like, honey, you need to go see a dentist. Like, I don't have the money. And so we were able to find a dentist to partner with us and, you know, to get her in as soon as possible. And so there's just so many needs. So
and
really
so many ways to help. Yeah.
Yes.
Even
so
just like
many
a dentist
ways.
Partnering or a therapist partnering with us that is willing
yes.
to help us out with, you know, what our needs are. It doesn't necessarily have to be financial, but if you can fill a need because that is, you know, your forte, then definitely that's a way to partner up with us.
Yes, and I think so often women in the church, at least I experience this, when they hear about, oh, strip club outreach ministry, oh, yeah, I can't go in there. And it's like, no. There are so many ministry opportunities outside the club. You know, we need prayer warriors, people to the bakers. You need people that are administrative, you know, have the gift of administration to help out with, you know, your nonprofit, your ministry. So everyone, if you're listening right now, there is a job for you. And if there isn't a job, God's going to equip you and he's going to qualify you.
Yes.
He's going to provide those skills for you to help loving you where you are at ministry. So Krista, thank you so much for taking time to be on the Tina Talks Truth radio show here on One Jam Nation Radio.
Well, thank you for having me.
Thank you, Krista, for sharing your hope and joy and laughter and healing. And once again, if you can go to her website, www.lovingyouwhereyouareat.com, please help this ministry. Please help this safe house. We need this safe house to be sustainable. And it needs to be able to be managed years and years and years. God took care of providing the safe house. And it's our job now to step up, donate money, donate supplies, and donate services for these women to heal. We talked about Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. If you're listening today, there is hope, and God has a future for you. If you have any prayer requests, please contact me at tinatalkstruth@gmail.com, or you can just go on Facebook and message me on Tina Talks Truth page. I thank you so much for joining us. I hope that you tune in next Wednesday at 10 a.m. Eastern Time on One Jam Nation Radio. This is Tina Levine with Tina Talks Truth Radio Show. Here's Victor.
This is Victor with Tina Talks Truth. And the truth is, hope is dope.
Word. Hey, Victor.
Okay, the truth is, there is hope.